In a letter to the Federal Reserve, Republican leaders say ease up on the stimulus.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Ally Bank, offering Pop Money, a way to pay other people online by sending an email or text. Learn more at allybank.com.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The Federal Reserve today wraps up its two-day session on monetary policy with a couple of ideas on the table. It could, among other things, lower long-term interest rates in a move it's calling Operation Twist. Something else on the Board of Governors' minds? A letter sent to Chairman Ben Bernanke from Republican leaders in the House and Senate, asking them to refrain from any more monetary stimulus because it may be doing more harm than good to the economy. Morris Davis worked at the Federal Reserve under Chairman Alan Greenspan. He's now a professor of real estate at the University of Wisconsin. Professor, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Are the concerns of Republican congressmen, are they correct?
Yeah, if they are correct. It's unusual. I don't remember ever reading about members of Congress sending the Fed a letter asking them not to do anything. What the Republicans might be afraid of is that the Fed can't reduce the unemployment rate and that all we're doing right now through monetary policy is setting the stage for future inflation.
I know Democrats have cried foul about this, including Senator Schumer from New York. How is this any different from when Chairman Bernanke is called to regular hearings on Capitol Hill and he gets grilled by Congress there?
Well, Congress has always asked the Fed chairman for explanation about his policies. So I think the only difference is that typically the chairman's asked to explain what he has done in the past. And now our Congress is asking the chairman to not do anything in the future.
Are you worried, Professor, that this is going to threaten the Fed's independence or at the very least set a dangerous precedent?
Yeah. Absolutely. And what you want is a central bank that is concerned about the health of the economy, independent of where we are in an election cycle. You know, there's kind of been a gentleman's agreement that the Fed would not interfere with elections. I guess maybe members of Congress would see a huge stimulus announcement as potentially interfering with the election cycle. But, you know, what you want is a central banker that doesn't care about elections. What you want is a central banker that just does the best possible monetary policy, independent of who's in Congress.
Morris Davis, professor of real estate at the University of Wisconsin, used to work at the Fed in D.C. under Alan Greenspan. Professor Davis, thanks.
Thank you very much.
Let's do the numbers. European shares are down at the moment, but trading in Asia was mostly higher today. This morning, Lloyd's of London is reporting a loss of more than $1 billion for the first 6 months of the year, all due to a record number of claims from natural disasters. Wall Street yesterday, the Nasdaq lost more than 0.8%, but the Dow managed a small gain, up 7 points, to close at 11,408.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, combining email marketing and social media for more customers and more time back on the clock. Learn more at ConstantContact.com. By Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733.
Engineers say tar balls turning up on Alabama beaches after Tropical Storm Lee have the same chemical composition as samples taken shortly after the BP oil spill. That is from an Auburn University study out this week. Meanwhile, over in China, the government there has its eyes on another oil company, ConocoPhillips, after a couple of big oil spills off the northern Chinese coast. Marketplace China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports.
Lan Guoping picked the wrong year to start farming scallops. After growing corn for most of his life, the old man's friends convinced him he should spend his savings on rafts, buoys, and nets. Now all of this sits in his backyard on top of thousands of pink scallop shells.
A few days after I noticed the oil in the water, nearly all of my scallops died. The rest of this year is hopeless.
Lan's one of many here along China's Bohai Sea who are suing ConocoPhillips for the oil spill. He estimates he's lost $50,000, his entire savings.
China welcomed these foreign companies to drill for oil as long as they don't harm the environment, but they took that for granted.
It took 2 months for ConocoPhillips to apologize for the spill and to establish a fund to help those damaged by it. And that's why the company's been on the front page of China's state-run newspapers for weeks. It's been accused of poor ethics, negligence, and cover-ups. But last year in this region, a Chinese company spilled around 100 times the amount of oil. The Chinese response? The government blocked its own media from covering that spill.
Foreign companies present the line of least resistance.
Tsinghua University business professor Patrick Shavonik says Chinese journalists commonly get in trouble for going after Chinese companies.
What is possible in China's domestic media has been expanding. Things that would simply never have been covered, now there are people who are willing to cover it. But I do think that covering foreign companies, it's easier because it just presents less conflicts.
This summer, several Chinese journalists defied government orders and criticized the government over a high-speed train crash that killed dozens of people. A few weeks later, though, CCTV, China's largest state-run television network, fired one of its top producers for coverage of the crash. The state press has avoided negative coverage of the train crash ever since. Reporting from Hubei, China, I'm Rob Schmitz. For Marketplace.
Later today on Marketplace, Rob looks at computer giant Apple in the Chinese environmental spotlight. And finally, I'm looking for some ideas. I'm thinking of dressing up as the economy for Halloween. So what do I wear? I tweeted that question on my Twitter account earlier this morning. Here are some of the responses I got. The ones I can say on the radio. Anyway, a wooden barrel, a half of a suit on top, and a potato sack on bottom to show the dichotomy between Wall Street and Main Street. My favorite so far, an unemployed hobo doing the twist. Keep those tweets coming. The address is at Radio Chio. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM. That's American Public Media.
A thumb on the highway is an icon that's all but gone away.
By the time I was 15, I think hitchhikers had pretty much disappeared.
I'm Bob Moon. On the next installment of Freakonomics, where'd all the hitchhikers go? Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.